Good morning, everyone. My name is Christina, as Bev mentioned, and I'm really honored to be here today. And I'm just rising up with Lazarus right there. That was that was awesome. Emma Curtis Hopkins said this. She said, "This too is good. This too is God. This too is for me. And I demand to see the blessing in it. I demand to see the blessing in it." Emma was a New Thought mystic who has written a couple really great books many, many years ago. And her teachings of New Thought and truth principles have inspired me for many years. In fact, I was reflecting that actually the very first time I ever really worked with this particular teaching was over 7 years ago. And I have always been, throughout periods of my life, I have always been called to a higher place, to look at the good. There are times when the good is really clear and obvious and easy to see. And then there are times when nothing looks good and it's hard to embrace what the good is. And I'm really moving through a time in my life right now where that's happening, the ups and downs. And it's such an honor for me, as Bev mentioned, my work primarily in the last year and a half has been hospital chaplaincy. And I have had the sacred, sacred, holy, holy opportunity to serve, to be with people when they are dying, to be with people when they have just heard they have a terminal cancer diagnosis, to be with young parents who have just lost a baby, to be with people in that very sacred, holy, fragile, vulnerable time of life and death. And for me, it's a birthing process. I spend time also with mothers and fathers who are experiencing the joy of birthing a baby or maybe two, maybe twins, and the joy that that is. We're all birthed into this world, into this earthly temple. Also, to be with people who can celebrate the other birthing that we go through, which I believe is when we transition. It's just like another birth. We go through a channel into whatever is there after this life. And it truly is the holiest work that I have ever been able to be a part of. And I have learned so much about myself. I've always known that, you know, we live in a world of collective consciousness where there's a lot of lack and limitation, especially the last few years with the economy. But there's a lot of negativity out there. But, you know, people who've kind of looked at from more of a New Thought perspective, you know, let's look at our lives and, you know, really how many blessings do I have in my life? What is it in my life that really isn't such a blessing? And what a couple of the researchers found is that really 90% of what goes on in our lives is awesome. We can look at it as a blessing. We can look at it as good, and we can see it as good if we train ourselves to do that through our spiritual practice. And really, there's only about 10% that is probably stuff that we need to really be called to a higher place to find the good in it. And we spend a lot of time, and, you know, of course, the news and the media and so much of what's out there that we get exposed to influences us in the negative. So my practice is when I have a challenge, when I have something that doesn't look good, and I'll share with you in a moment, I had something like that happen this week. I call myself to a higher place and I claim this too is good. I know there is a blessing here. This too is God. This too is for me, not against me. I demand to see and accept the blessing in it. I open to my good. I empty myself. I surrender to it. I demand it sometimes too. Sometimes we need to just say, I demand it. Other times, we can open and surrender to it, and we then see it. It is a matter of seeing it and opening to it. And I want to share with you a really classic quote by our friend Jesus. According to your faith, it will be done to you. According to your spiritual practice, it will be done to you. According to your thinking and your seeing, how you see with the inner eye and with your heart, it will be done to you. And in Job 22, you will decide upon a matter and it will be established for you. You will decide on a matter and it will be established for you. So what is in your life right now that may feel like it's hard, a challenge, a great difficulty? I challenge you today and this week to really call yourself to a higher place to see the good in it. I want to share with you a story. As Bev mentioned, I've lived in Canada for 6 years, and I actually have, I'm part Canadian, actually, and British, as well as American. But I lived in Canada, had two Unity churches up in the Vancouver area. And one of the things that I loved about being in Canada was it gave me a different perspective on the USA. Because we are a pretty ethnocentric country, aren't we? Some of you may know that if you've traveled or if you've kind of looked at it, but we, you know, some Americans think all Canadians live in Eskimo huts, you know, believe it or not, igloos. Anyway, the Canadians have a very different perspective. And I learned a lot living in another country. And I learned to really embrace a different culture. And even though it doesn't look that different, if you go up to Vancouver, people speak English, a lot of them, well, a lot of them don't, actually, but many of them do. It doesn't look all that different, but culturally it is very different. I want to share with you a little story, and this is a true story. Out in the ocean, there was a large fleet of ships that were steaming ahead. All of a sudden, they noticed on their radar there was something that was in the way of their course. So they radioed the other ship, and they said, "This is the American battleship Nimitz." I could just imagine the guy's voice. "Please move 15 degrees north out of our way." The voice came back. "We're not able to move, sir. Please change your course 15 degrees south." The American officer, being an officer and being American, said, "We have a fleet of 10 ships, and it is very difficult for us to move off course. Please move 15 degrees north." The voice came back and said, "Repeat, please change your course 15 degrees south." Next, the Americans got all puffed up, and they said, "This is the United States First Naval Fleet, the greatest fleet in the world. We command you, to move 15 degrees north." And the voice came back that said, "Sir, this is a Canadian lighthouse, and it is your choice." Things are not always as they seem, are they? And don't we make assumptions? Or we think we know how something is, right? Or we think we understand what's going on, but we don't, because we haven't embraced all of it. Another story I want to share with you, this one is about Pope Benedict. And Pope Benedict was on his way to a trip. He travels a lot, and he basically was waiting for his limo, and the limo drives up. He's got all of his bags on the sidewalk, and he's standing there, and the chauffeur puts all the bags in the limo, and the Pope just continues to stand there. The door is open for him to get in, and he says to the driver, "By any chance, would it be okay with you if I drove? They never, ever let me drive at the Vatican." Well, you can imagine the chauffeur was said, "No, no, no, I'm sorry, sir, Your Highness, or Your Holiness, I'm very sorry. No, absolutely not. I will lose my job. That's not a good situation." Well, the Pope, being persuasive and being the Pope, said to him, "Well, who's going to tell? I won't tell anybody. And besides, there may be something good in this for you, something a little special. Well, being a devout Catholic, the driver said, okay, Your Holiness, I will let you drive. So he gets in the back, the driver gets in the back, the Pope gets in the driver's seat and starts to drive. And within a few minutes, he is driving 105 miles an hour. Now, he is a German Pope, so he's probably drove on the Autobahn a few times in his life. So, of course, the driver is panicked in the background, in the back seat, and says, "Whoa, slow down. Sure enough, within a moment, they're being pulled over by the cops. Siren. Okay, the cop gets out of the car, walks over to the limo. The Pope rolls the window down, looks at him, and the cop is frantic. He doesn't know what to do. Here is the Pope in the driver's seat. So he goes back to his car. He thinks, you know, maybe I'm hallucinating. I don't know. So he goes back. He calls the chief on the dispatch, and he says, "Chief, I don't know what to do. This guy is driving 105, and the chief says, "Well, book him. You know, all the more reason. He's going way too fast." He says, no, you don't understand. This guy is really important." And the chief says, "Well, who is he? The mayor?" "No, he's not the mayor. Bigger than that." "The governor?" "Nope, he's not the governor. Bigger than that." "The president?" "Nope, not the president. Bigger than that." Finally, the guy says, "Well, who is he?" And the cop says to the chief, "I think it's God." Chief says, "Why do you think it's God?" "Well, because the Pope is a chauffeur." Oh. A really moving true story to share with you. And this is back in Washington, D.C. in the zoo. And there was a beautiful, beautiful, very regal white tiger who lived at the zoo for many, many, many years, named Mahani. And Mahani, you know, lived his life in the zoo, and he had been there 20 years or so, and he had the old style of cage, you know, cement, bars, you know, small. It was like 12 feet by 12 feet, and that's what he lived in. Well, eventually at the zoo, they knew that they wanted to give him a much better environment and habitat to live in, and so they built him a beautiful, huge kind of a savanna, you know, kind of natural plants from his native homeland and so forth. They built this big, beautiful place for him to live. And with great excitement and fanfare, they transitioned him into his new home. And what happened was he walked around and he found a corner of this big, large, huge space. And he ended up spending the rest of his years in that one corner, walking in a circle just like he had in the 12 by 12 cell in the cage. And that's very sad, of course. It sounds like he probably pretty unhappy, I would think. But, you know, the lesson for us is that sometimes the biggest tragedy in our lives is that even though freedom is possible for us, sometimes we can pass our years trapped in the same old patterns. Sometimes we do just what Mahani did. You know, we get into a rut, we get into a comfort level, whether or not it's with our thinking or our behaviors, our actions, our words, whatever it is. We kind of get stuck in a place that feels comfortable, even though we're not truly free. What I want to invite you into today is really seeing how when you claim the good, when you see the good, when you call it God, when you see the blessing and that which is a challenge for you, you can break out of old patterns. You can allow yourself to move above and beyond. And I want to acknowledge that, you know, we talk a lot in Unity about good, about the power of our thoughts, the law of mind action. All the master teachers talk about it. So we know that it's a universal truth. Yeah, and it's a basic truth that we teach. But in my opinion, we all need to practice it more. And I want to share with you a couple stories from my life, an example of where I found the good easily. Sometimes it's clear, even though it was a hard process. And another example of where it's taken me a while to really find the good. So my mom, as I mentioned, is British. Or I think I mentioned that. Did I mention that? Oh, I'm partly British. She lives in England, and she and I are really different. She moved back to England when I was 17 years old. And I'm pretty American. And, you know, Mommy and I really don't see eye to eye on a lot of things. I've been very career-oriented, and she's always worked in the home. She is somebody who doesn't really like to talk about her feelings, although she thinks if you talk about your feelings, then they get worse. And I think, you know, if you talk about your feelings, then you can move through it. And so I went to visit my mom last February. And normally when I go to visit her in England, I go sightseeing and I, you know, get out and really just enjoy being in England, go to the villages, and I was right near Stonehenge. What I decided to do was have a completely different focus of my trip. And this time, instead of taking advantage of being over there, I decided my purpose was to be with her, to spend time with her, to help her, to talk to her, to listen to her, to help her in whatever she needed. And what ended up happening was, it was quiet. It was kind of a quieter trip. But the very last night I was there, we ended up having one of the, well, probably the best, deepest, for me, most important talks we've ever had. We were talking about something that we don't agree on, and I don't think we'll ever agree on it. In the past, we just wouldn't talk about it. In the past, we'd try to, like, brush it over and pretend it wasn't there. But instead, we talked about it openly, you know, and she would say, you know, I love you, but I just don't understand. I cannot accept that. And I would say, well, Mommy, I love you, and we feel differently about this. And it doesn't sound like a lot, but it was so pivotal for us to be honest with each other. And then, right after that, she said, she looked at me and she said, Christina, you are a good daughter. And I have never heard those words before from her, ever. I mean, now, she may have said them, don't get me wrong. She probably has said it, but I never heard it. Christina, you are a good daughter. And somehow, the good, and she even used the word good, that the good in that experience and the love that we've always had for each other, we definitely haven't been estranged. We just disagree on a lot of things. Makes it hard. But that affirmation of her really saying to me, thank you, Christina, for being here. Thank you for being who you are. And it was so amazing. I processed it and journaled about it the whole way back from England, which is a long trip, like 10 hours. and then I realized when I got back, too, how significant that was. I didn't actually realize it at the time, but for me to receive that affirmation and to be able to receive it, the love. You know, sometimes our good is being able to see and feel and receive the love that is there. Another example from this week for me is I'm looking for a job right now as a chaplain. I'm very interested in being a hospice chaplain or a hospital chaplain. My training is just about over. And I've been applying for jobs, and there was a job at Providence Hospice of Seattle that I was very interested in, and over the course of the last several months, there were several things that just kind of clicked. You know, I met somebody in February who works there, and she said, would you like to shadow me and see, you know, what this job is like? And I said, that would be great. Thank you, God. And so I did that, and then I applied, and I heard from the recruiter like the day after or 2 days later, very quickly. She said, I'd like to set you up for a phone interview. I said, that'd be wonderful. We had the phone interview. A day later, she said, I want you to come in and have an interview with a hiring manager and one of the other chaplains. I said, thank you, God. That would be great. Everything was just kind of clicking along. And I thought, wow, thank you, God. Thank you, God. It feels like divine order. This feels like there's ease and flow here. So I had the interview, and interview went well. I wouldn't say it was like fantastic, but it went really well. And I said, they said, well, you know, you'll hear in about a week. I said, okay. Well, the next day, 2 days later, I went into work, and I found out from a colleague who also had applied and interviewed that he got the job. Ooh, ouch. It really hit me hard. And I was kind of stunned. I was surprised, I guess. I was surprised, and I was surprised to kind of hear it that way. There were a lot of surprises. And so I ended up going home that day. I took a mental health day. And my boss was fine with that. And what I did was I prayed. I journaled. I took time. I cried. I really took time to process and allow it in. And what I realized was that, you know, it wasn't about the job. It was about some other things. And as I moved through the week, I slowly started to see the good in it. I started to see some of the reasons why perhaps it wasn't a connect. It wasn't my perfect job. And I'm still processing it. And, you know, sometimes it's like that. You know, sometimes we can say, this is good, and I see the good. This is God, and I see the God. This is for me, not against me, and I can see that. Other times, we need to really move through it. We need to open our hearts. We need to surrender to it. And I think it's a dance. I like to look at it as a dance between the demanding part, like I demand to see the good, and the surrendering part. Because we have to yield. Part of serving, part of loving, and part of living is being able to yield to what is. We need to yield to all of it. We need to take it into our hearts, and we need to empty ourselves. And I want to share with you from one of my favorite authors these days. His name is Ted Loader. He's a Methodist minister, and he writes prayers and poetry. And this is called Gorillas of Grace. This is one of his collections of poetry. And he wrote this. Gracious and Holy One, Creator of all things and of emptiness. I come to you full of much that clutters and distracts, stifles and burdens me. Empty me now of gnawing dissatisfactions, of anxious imaginings, of fretful preoccupations, of nagging prejudices, of old scores to settle. And empty me now of the arrogance of being right. Empty me now. Hollow out in me a space in which I will find myself, in which I will find peace, in which I will find a whole heart and a forgiving spirit. Empty me now so that I will have the will to reach out boldly to the abundant life that is mine. So we yield, we empty, we claim our good. We do a dance back and forth. And in closing, I want to share with you from the words of Confucius. Confucius say, "Wheresoever you go, go with all your heart." Confucius said that. "Wheresoever you go, go with all your heart." And I know Myrtle Edwards said that too. I mean, Myrtle Edwards. Myrtle Fillmore. I can't believe I said that. Oh, yes, Myrtle Edwards Park and Myrtle Fillmore, co-founder of Unity. Myrtle Fillmore is the heart of Unity. I can't believe I said that. Wherever you go, go with all your heart. And so let us move into a time of prayer as we take in these truths, as we give thanks for all the good, all the God, all the blessings, all the life that we live. We give thanks for all of it. We open our hearts. We empty ourselves. We call forth. We rise up, just like Lazarus. We rise up, knowing that all is well and that God is so very, very good. We pray this now in the name and through the power of the living Christ presence. Amen.